Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
And that 27 minutes, I think, had the biggest impact on Keon Ellis's 12.
I agree.
Especially when you point out Russ. 13 of Russell Westbrook's 18 minutes came in the first half. Mm-hmm. That's 5 minutes, and we just laid out. It was really the transition in the third and fourth that Russ was playing, and we had the check-in point. So they're up five to, I think it was down five, down two. Mm-hmm. Up five to down two, Russell Westbrook was on the floor.
Yeah.
DeMar DeRozan was off of it. Keon Ellis was on the floor. I mean, I don't know. It feels like I'm not sure that there's a bigger cycle of debate than the Keon Ellis one. Mm. And it boils down to the majority of this fan base. I just don't think they care for Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan, and they don't want to see them on the floor. And Keon Ellis can do no wrong, and they want to see Keon in the floor. They want to see Keon and Malik on the floor. That's all perfectly fine. I have no issue with any of that. I don't agree with it, mm-hmm. but I have no problem with how you feel. The question that I'm posing is, why doesn't Doug feel that way? Mm. Or why didn't Mike feel that way? Why doesn't Scott feel that way? Why didn't Monty feel that way? Why does it feel like the only people who feel that way about Keon Ellis are fans? Mm-hmm. That's all I'm asking. I don't expect you to have an answer. I don't expect the Chatty House to have an answer. I don't expect anybody who's listening to have an answer. It's a question I'm posing that I don't understand. Doug Christie said, we're going to get our offense. We're going to be able to score, but defense is going to where we're going to be able to win games. And then he talks about the way that DeMar and the different guards were playing as to the reason that Keon Ellis didn't get more minutes. Mm-hmm. The follow-up question would have been, and maybe he said it and I missed it and I should have taken notes and I apologize. I don't know if he followed up with the way that DeMar and Zach and Dennis and those guys were playing and Malik with, and they were playing well on the defensive end. Mm-hmm. Because then that answers your question. He feels good about the way that those guys were playing on the end of the floor that he says is going to win his basketball team games. But if he didn't, I'd ask Doug, hey, every player you just named was cooking offensively. How do you feel about what they did defensively? And then his answer cycles the next question. But I don't know.
Does Keon Ellis do anything that's difficult to replace on this team? Like, is his, like, if you were to remove him from this team, would it be difficult to replace what he brings to this team?
I get what you're saying with the question.
Maybe that's just why the Kings just don't value him as highly as others do. Like, we do, I guess.
I
feel like there's a spot you can fill.
I absolutely get what you're saying with the question. I don't want to be disrespectful to the type of defender I think Keon is, especially on-ball defender. I think he has all defensive team capabilities with how he can guard 1 through 3, you know, in a lot of cases. But I think they look at, like, for instance, I don't think Doug Christie looks at maybe the fourth quarter of that game and says we lost because we didn't defend and we didn't have a defender out there. I think he looks at it as they missed some shots, the bad foul at the end with Zach LaVine, But it's not, man, we just didn't have nobody that could guard out there. No, Dennis was guarding. Malik was working out there on the defensive end. I thought Zach LaVine was doing it. You talked about DeMar. I thought they were working on the defensive end. I don't feel like they lost that game because they were playing bad defense in the fourth quarter. And that's the thing that Keon brings to the table. Whereas if you're getting good, solid to good defense from the guys that have 27 points in the game and 26 and 22, yeah, I'm all right with that. I'm all right with that. More times than not. Given hindsight, maybe there was a possession here or there. It was like, maybe I'll. But once again, who are you bringing Keon in for? Because you would bring him in to guard a guy like Devin Booker, and Schroeder was doing a great job on Devin Booker, and he was scoring on the other end of the floor. You wouldn't bring Keon in to guard Mark Williams because you're having issues on the boards.
Why not? Shout out Russ.
So I think you laid it out perfectly. That was an excellent point by you.
Thank you.
Malik Monk was playing really, really well last night. He was trying and working on the defensive end. And if you get that from Malik Monk, more times than not, it's going to be tough for Keon to get on the floor.
Book lived at the foul line in the fourth quarter. That's where a lot of his points came from.
He did. He got, I think he got the last six, though, when they were trying to foul. Yeah, I think he had like the last six. How many did he have?
So it was really in the fourth quarter, 5 of 6.
He might have got all six in the. I know they fouled twice and he got some cheap free throws there. He might have got them another time too.
And it was the third quarter that he ate a little bit on 4 or 5 shooting. Him and Grayson Allen.
Oh my gosh. Did you see when Grayson tried to say something to Carwell?
Yeah.
Hey. Yeah. Slap the mess out of you. You go, let go of my jersey, bro. Carwell, a nice rookie. It, 2 years from now, he probably like, bro, get your hands off my jersey. The hell is wrong with you? Grayson Allen. What, do you want to fight?
What he should have done.
What do you
want to
do?
What he should have said is, bro, I will beat your gray-headed ass. Out of here.
Because Carwell, this is what I did like about
Grayson Allen looked like he'd been in the league 27 years.
Carwell lit Grayson ass, lit him up. He lit him up on that play because he went in there crashing for the boards, and Carwell just ran right into him, knocked him on the ground. I would have been
the
like,
frustrating.
Yeah, what?
And that's the tough part. I mean, every game when you analyze a game, be it for 4 hours or 20 minutes, like there's positives and negatives to every game. You win or lose. Like there's positives and negatives to it. It felt like, I mean, there's a stretch objectively where you break this game down, you know, even through the full 4 quarters, there's a lot of positives in this game. Unfortunately, you know, you have a man, what were the numbers? Here they are. You had 42nd points in the second half, and you had 42nd points in the second quarter. You had 45 points in the second half. It's like, well, that's tough to get over.
Yeah,
and all of that. So you know, and then you lose. So you're stuck, and you're frustrated, and it's all compounded by now. Nate Clifford is out. We couldn't go a game without someone. It literally is the San Francisco 49ers. If you hadn't worn that stupid jersey, maybe this wouldn't have happened.
I had to do 49er Friday on a Thursday today.
Why?
Because I had to wear my Sac State stuff tomorrow.
Oh, I got you. Oh, got you.
Because they play on Friday.
They do. Because you got a Sac State jersey.
Well, yeah.
That's fine. It's good. It's fine.
Sac State Friday.
Yeah, Nate Clifford is out for a week with a hamstring issue. He'll be reevaluated in a week. So the Sacramento Kings will take the floor for sure tomorrow night without Keegan Murray and without Nate Clifford. We're monitoring the situation with DeMontis Sabonis. I'm hoping we could check in with someone who was at practice in the next handful of minutes and or in the next hour or so and find out what the status of Domantas Sabonis was. Sean Cunningham tweeted that Kings practice has opened. This was at about 1:15. Kings practice has opened. Isaac Jones, who has battled an illness, is on the court shooting. He's on the court shooting again. We don't know if he participated in practice. Sean Cunningham also noted Domantas Sabonis is taking part as well. Again, we don't know if he was just out on the court getting work in after practice or if he participated in practice. I believe the early thought was Domantas Sabonis would not play tomorrow. We might have hit desperate times, call for desperate measures category. Like Domas was staring off into space as that game was coming to a conclusion last night, thinking, well, if I had been out there, maybe this had been a little bit different. And shout out to Sean Cunningham, because I don't know for sure that he's listening, but he is starting to post some clips from Twitter.
Thank you.
So we'll hear from Dennis Schroeder. We'll hear from a handful of guys here over the course in the next hour or so. Matt George is going to join us. He'll give us his thoughts about 3:15, 3:30 on the Sacramento Kings, their game last night, and what things look like moving forward. And we expect Coach Brendan Marion to join us here pretty soon. He's scheduled to join us in the next few minutes, but Coach always stays, you know, stays busy, stays cooking. So we should be talking to the head coach of the Sac State Hornets within the next few minutes here on D'Lo and Casey on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Casey has left. He's quit. Great. Casey's out. God damn it. Casey's got a hamstring. I think Casey just got a call from Coach there, so we'll hopefully talk to Coach Brendan Marion here. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, but I think this is very, very timely. Let's see. Yeah, shout out to our boy Sean Cunningham. Right on time, baby. Let's hear from Keon Ellis. Sacramento Kings wrapped up practice yesterday. This courtesy of our man Sean Cunningham, KCRA. Here is a guy who's getting a lot of attention today, Keon Ellis. Yeah, no, we're ready.
How do you reflect on last night? What you saw, what you liked, you didn't?
I mean, tough loss. I mean, especially the way we came out first half. Kind of felt like we had, you know, our momentum going. We were rolling, but that third quarter is where, you know, things shifted and we just weren't able to get under control.
It just seems almost like a thing over the past couple of years where a big lead and then give up. And is it really come down to just tail of two halves that way?
I don't know. I just think, you know, when we're up big, we just have to, you know, really continue to focus on the things that got us that lead and, you know, and know that, you know, these NBA teams aren't going to lay down. So, you know, we're going to get their best shot. And, I mean, we even talked about it at halftime, but we just didn't come out with our heads on straight after halftime.
What were the things that you felt like helped give you that lead early?
I think just our communication, the way we were flying around on the defensive end, the stops we were getting to let us get transition points and you know, actions where, you know, they're not all the way fully set, things like that. I think, you know, in the second half, we gave up some easy points for them. And, you know, when the ball is going in, you know, it's easy to get confident. So NBA team, good players over there. So, you know, when the confidence is rolling, you know, and they're at home. So, you know, the feelings are high. So I think that's just what happened.
When they start switching 1-5 in that second half, how do you feel like it impacted you guys and what could you have done differently?
Kind of stalled us out a little bit. I think, you know, when we went one screen and, you know, they switched it, we kind of just kind of stood there, didn't really know what we wanted to do next. So, but I think we just have to figure out how we want to you know, screen and, you know, go into actions and what we want to get into or you know, try to get to when teams are going 1-5 to put ourselves in a better situation.
Is it challenging making adjustments in that second half to their adjustments when you're still learning each other?
No, I don't think so. I think it's, you know, it's basketball. We've all played it for a good amount of time. I don't think the things that we were messing up last night is things that are something that we're not capable of. I don't think it was something that serious. I think it just came down to, you know, really just locking in and make sure, you know, the simple things we executed.
You guys are down some size up front right now. Mm-hmm. You know, going up against some bigger teams could be problematic from a rebounding perspective. But what are things you guys can do, even if you're undersized, to do a better job on the glass?
Make sure you hit them. I mean, I think when the shot goes up, hit them early. Don't let them get down to the mid-range area before you know, hit them first. You know, I mean, obviously, like you said, they're a big team. So don't want to let them get that far in before you get some contact. And, you know, that kind of decreases their chance of getting the ball. So I hit them first. I think that would be a good emphasis.
To that tune, when you are smaller, like, do you feel like there's other strengths that you can lean into being a smaller group out there?
Yeah, I mean, I think the pressure that we're able to put on the rim, you know, if teams are going to have bigger lineups, then most likely they probably won't be able to guard like that. So probably being able to get by them, put them in action that they're not comfortable being in, and pressure on the rim, and then that's when, you know, you create the rotations.
What's kind of like the impact when you're like a pet? I mean, two people are all gamers, like Russ and Devo kind of say some things after a practice like that to kind of leave you guys thinking about heading into tomorrow's shoot around. What kind of impact does that have on you?
I mean, I think it's a good message for the team to hear, you know, just to keep everyone's head on straight. I mean, long season, but I mean, obviously, you know, losing the game like that, those are games that you look back at and be like, man, we could have had that one, you know, when the seeding is real close and it's one game, two games, you know, those are ones that you want to have back. So I think a message like that just, you know, focuses everyone's attention back on the main goal.
And you've experienced a lot with this organization since being here. How much are you looking forward to an opening night here on Saturday?
Man, it'll be crazy in here. So I definitely love playing at home, you know, best fans for sure. So I expect it to be electric in there tomorrow.
What stands out to you about that Utah team?
Say that one more time.
I'm a hit pause. I think Brendan just asked him about what stood out about the Utah game. My bad. Yeah, but unmentionables. Unmentionable.
That's my dog. That's my dog.
Shout out to our brothers over there. One thing I love about one, I love the way Keon addresses the media, and two, like, he always seems good.
Man, I like Keon a lot.
Like, he always seems like, yeah, everything is, you know, 20-point lead, lost, playing time, all this stuff y'all talking about, man, it's good.
That's how I love my players to be. Keon might be pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
Keon might be hot.
Mm-hmm.
But at the very least, he keeping family business, mm-hmm, in the family.
Yeah.
And he not going to say anything or look any type of way in front of the public that will have the team looking a certain way or add turmoil to the team. Man, you know, we talk about, like, hey, this happened, where are you going to go with this and all this other stuff. Man, you know how it is. I love Keon on this team. Mm-hmm. I want him.
Yeah.
I wish there was more opportunity for him. I don't want him to go nowhere. I think he is a guy that you need if you're trying to be a good team. And, yeah, I'm sure, much like the preseason game where we came in here and was like, yo, Keon, he in the doghouse, like, he only plays 7 minutes, like, all this other stuff. He comes out on that Friday and plays 28, mm-hmm, and scores 22. I think that's going to be more common than people realize this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I say that to say, don't freak out over what happened last night minutes-wise. I keep going back to it because I thought it was the point of the day. We need to make that a segment. Somebody pay for it. The point of the day. Malik playing as well as he did was problematic for Keon's minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a reflection of Keon Ellis or him doing things wrong.
Yeah.
It was more so they had a guy who was cooking and, yeah, they were going to ride the hot hand, and he was giving good effort on the defensive end. He's not a lockdown defender, but he was out there competing.
I think Coach Brendan Marion is ready for us. Let's bring Coach in. I say question mark because it looks like they might be getting some things set up over there. Let's bring Coach in. Coach, what's good? You all right, Coach?
Yeah, what's going on? Y'all good?
Yeah, no, I'm great, man. I just want to give you a heads up. There are a lot of people watching this. There are people from Sacramento to Montana, from fans to journalists. I didn't know. They are hanging on every word that Coach Brennan Marion says. They are hanging on every word that Dr. Luke Wood says. They are hanging on every word leading into this game tomorrow night on ESPN. They're ready to fact check everything and come back with numbers and stats and tell us how we should have this conversation. So I just want to make you, I know you're used to high pressure situations, Coach, but this is a pretty high pressure situation for you. Coach is
You know, Coach, I said this earlier.
Y'all couldn't see that. Coach gave that look like, oh, I'm ready.
We talked about this earlier, and I was like, the great thing about all of this is none of it matters. It was what happens on that field. And we get to find out who on that day is the better team on the field, and none of the talking from each side matters up until that point. You know what I mean? Or after that point, we find out. They get to settle it with the game, man. And that's what I love about all this.
Yeah, you know, being a guy that grew up before the, you know, social media was going crazy. You know, I always tell the guys, it's not what you tweet, not what you Instagram, not what you it's what you do out there. You know, what you do speaks so loud, nobody can hear what you say. So, yeah. Got to play the game.
And let's talk about the game, the actual game against Montana tomorrow. One thing that has been absolutely spectacular with your Hornets, Coach, is your run game. What has been the key to that? We saw something with the San Francisco 49ers on Sunday. They have been struggling to get their run game going. George Kittle returns. All of a sudden, Christian McCaffrey is back to that all-pro MVP style player out of the backfield. You guys have racked up some incredible yardage on the ground. What has been the key to that so far this season, particularly the last 4 or 5 weeks or so?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just our culture as far as our whole team is bought in on us running the ball, you know, from the top down. I mean, every player is like, Coach, run the ball. Like, you know, like that's just what kind of we want to do. After the first game, we were all upset because we felt like that would be what we was our calling card, being able to run the ball, and we didn't get that done. And then every game after that, we've been running the ball at a high level. Our O-line has done a really good job under Kay Rich's, you know, teaching and tutelage, and really just taking on, you know, really taking it upon themselves. There's four seniors up there who said that they wanted to have a great season. And then in the backfield, we have, you know, senior leadership as well. Rodney Hammond, who's our captain number two, you know, that like those guys are like our culture guys. They do everything right. They're here, you know, they're here the earliest. They stay the latest. So I think that's why we've been really successful when it talks about running the ball. And then, you know, obviously when you can add in a quarterback who can hurt you with his legs as well, the defense has to account for him and slow down a little bit with Cardale being able to pull the ball and run as well, then it opens up some more lanes. But you saw last week, he had -7 yards rushing. He didn't run the ball at all. I think one time he did and got like maybe a yard or 2 yards. And those were all handoffs, you know. So it's really cool when it's like a pro-style situation where the quarterback's not running at all. Mm-hmm. And it's just straight, you know, big plays from just handing it off straight to the back. No reads, no triple option, no high school hairy stuff, you know, just real downhill, handing off the ball to the back. So really proud of where we're at as far as, you know, what we did in the past. And like I tell the players, we got to prove that every week. We got to reinvent ourselves and prove it every week. I think what makes our run game unique is that it's, you know, uniquely different each game. You know, we don't do the same thing all the time. You know, I rarely call the same thing over and over again. We do multiple things. So I think that's what gives us an advantage there.
You know, Coach, talking about that running game for a little bit more time, that running backs room that you guys have, I was talking to Sam about this last night. Man, that's got to be the deepest positional room maybe in the conference. You know what I mean? With you guys have 5, 6, 7 different running backs that we've seen over the course of this season, scoring touchdowns, making big runs. We talked about this a little bit earlier, basketball-wise, with like Keon Ellis. Is it a situation where you have to kind of keep the guys that obviously are capable of getting more playing time and getting more touches, got to keep them afloat mentally to say like, hey, you never know when your time is going to come. I know maybe you didn't get the amount of carries you wanted the last couple of games, but Sam, be ready for this fourth down, or Jaquil, get ready. This is going to be your game. How do you do that as a coach to kind of keep those guys locked in and focused with the running back room being as deep as it is?
Yeah, like my man from Florida, rest in peace. We got the best running back room in the nation. You know what I mean? Not just, you know, where we're at, but yep. You got to think we got two guys that were all conference guys that haven't touched the ball since maybe the first or second game due to injury. So Savion Red and Jamar Curtis haven't even been out there. Mm. And so that's why you see younger guys, you know, Damian getting a chance to run the ball, Jaquil getting a chance to run the ball. And we still got a couple guys that can run the ball who haven't touched the ball yet this year that are ready to go. I mean, like, it's like we're holding them back, you know what I mean, as far as some other guys that we have that can touch the ball. So I think in that room, they just have a really good rapport with each other. It reminds me a lot of when I was at the University of Texas in that running back room. They just want to see each other shine. Like, they're all like yelling at each other, like to score when they're in there, to make the most of their carries and make those big plays and make them happen when they get a chance to run the ball in the game. And really for us, it's just trying to, you know, see who gets hot and give them the ball more once they get hot and get rolling. But, you know, all those guys can go in there and make plays. I mean, we put Sam Adams in there for protection purposes. Then we check the play to him and then boom, it's a touchdown, you know? So like there's so many guys when they touch the ball, big things can happen, and they're really good running backs. And we're blessed that they came to Sacramento to play for us because of what we did in the past with our running backs. You know, like they trusted, you know, the scheme and the situation, the coaches, to come here and play for us. But, you know, like there's a lot of guys in that room that have juice, that can score in one play, that it can be physical runners, pound the rock, be a 25 carry type of guy, and also catch out of the backfield, you know, and pass protect. So a lot of complete backs in that room. Coach AC's done a really good job, Coach Dub, of working with those guys and getting them to be complete running backs, not just one trick ponies. But those dudes really, we really got some juice in that room for sure.
Mm-hmm. Coach, this is obviously a massive game that is taking on even larger, greater conversation here over the course of the last week or so. Do your guys feel like they have something to prove tomorrow night?
Really, since the bye week, all our guys, is we let one slip away. You know, when we started conference play against Cal Poly, they did a really good job of coming in here and getting after us. And we just had that bye week, and we all just said that our back is against the wall. We're fighting for the legacy of our team. We said one great year can change our life, and we have the opportunity to do that. The only way that we can do that is by winning out and treating every single game like a playoff game. And that's what we've done since the bye week ended. So, you know, we talk about having to reinvent yourself every day. When you go to sleep at night, that's one. If you went 1-0 that day, did you do everything possible to go 1-0 that day? That's, for us, is getting up in the morning. And, you know, I know I say this every week on the show, but that's getting up in the morning, mm-hmm. making sure you do the hydration test and your mobility testing and stretch, mm-hmm. Eating breakfast, coming over to meetings, making sure you're alert and energized in the meetings, then going out, having a great practice, then after practice, going to class, coming back, getting treatment, going to study hall, and making sure the locker room is clean, making sure your locker's clean. And if you do that, that's going 1-0 for the day. And since the bye week, we've had 100% buy-in on everybody just going 1-0 each day. And ultimately, that's really what we're doing. We're just trying to, you know, we're fighting for our lives. I tell these guys, like, you got to live with this record forever. We got to live with the 2025 resume that we put together as a collective group, you know, together forever. And so everybody, when they came here, they said, we want to be winners. We want to do this and that. Well, we got to put up or shut up and make it happen. And so for us, this is the biggest game of our life this week. And we're excited for the opportunity.
Coach, 20,000 plus at Hornet Stadium last week for that game against Northern Colorado, man. It was electric out there at Hornet Stadium. Going to have another big crowd on Friday night. Do you guys feel that on the sidelines, or is it just kind of white noise? Or do you feel the energy coming from the crowd on a third down stop or a goal line stop like you got to end the game last week? Can you guys feel that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think back to, I was blessed. There was a couple of schools I went to where, you know, like 100,000 was going to show up regardless, or 50,000 was going to show up regardless of what you did on the, you know, regardless. But when we went to UNLV, it was a lot like when we started here of, you know, like it was like 18, you know, not a lot of fans, you know, and you're playing an NFL stadium. So it really feels like there's not a lot of people in there. There wasn't a tailgate going on before the game. Mm-hmm. And we talked about our players like, man, like we're going to get this thing packed out. Like we're going to get the upper deck field. They're going to be tailgating outside from the way that you played or product that you put on the field. And, you know, when I talked to President Wood of taking the job, I'm like, man, we got to find a way to get the whole city of Sacramento out here. Like there's too many people in Sacramento not to have these games filled up. And, you know, we can do concerts and we can do tailgate. We can do all this stuff to like get more fans involved and create that, you know, that energy, because that does change the game. I mean, that's why, you know, certain teams only play home games. You know, they can go a whole season and only play home games. I don't know how that's possible, but some teams just play home games the whole year. You know, like, you know, that's crazy to me, but yeah. That's why they want to play home games, because you have a home field advantage, you know, because you can pack your fans in there. You can create an environment. You put people on the road. That's hard to do with the travel and different things of, you know, the way to navigate that. So for us, we created that environment. Now it's, you know, trying to generate and keep that going every week. And I think as you know, you continue to win, you continue to have big time, you know, acts coming to perform. I think that's the standard now. Now we got to keep that rolling. You know, that was really a great atmosphere. I was proud of Sacramento. When I looked up there, I was like, yeah, like this is what, you know, and all the players were, they deserved that. I mean, these guys are working 6-7 days a week from January until December, January every year, right? They want to play in those big games. And it's even more special when you play in a big game at your home stadium, not going on the road to play in a big game, but you can feel that big game atmosphere in your own stadium.
Yeah.
Coach, I don't say this lightly. I have a great deal of respect for what you do. Not only do I need you to go 1-0 tomorrow, I need you to beat their ass tomorrow. I do not love the way that this week went. I don't love some of the dialogue that has been going on over the last 6-7 days. I'm gonna be out there with you.
Yeah.
Hey, let's go 1-0 tomorrow. In fact, let's go 2-0 tomorrow. Let's win. Let's do the Doug Christie. Let's win the game and the fight. Not the fight. You know what I mean? On the field.
Yeah,
I mean, let's get it
careful
done.
What you say?
Yeah, I know. That's right. Right. Great. That's gonna get clipped.
Right. Look, unruly. Montana. Host.
Look at these thugs. These thugs out here. Hey, Coach. Sorry, I apologize, Coach. Nah, man, we're hyped for this one tomorrow, man. We're ready. We're ready.
Yeah,
we'll be out there, Coach. You need us to do something, man. We ready. You
need me on the kickoff team, man. Come on, man. I'll run down there on the kickoff team one time.
We ready, man.
I just need y'all to bring the crew with y'all. Fill the seats up, baby. Bring them
we
out.
Coming. Yes, indeed. Yes,
yeah,
indeed.
We
man.
Coming. Good luck, Coach. We appreciate you, man. We're excited for tomorrow.
All right. Thank you. Stingers up. Appreciate
yes, sir. It, baby.
Yes, sir. That's a man, Coach Brandon Marion.
Woo.
God.
Woo. It's lit.
That thug clip going to be circling all over Montana Twitter.
See, I told you.
Congratulations, Casey. We just made outkick.
Radio host says they need to win the fight. Thanks, D-Lo.
Yeah, yeah. Prison yard break. Brawl.
Prison break radio host.
Look at the light-skinned guy in the militant jacket.
He's got the Black Panther jacket on it.
We about to get eviscerated. Jesus, man. Oh, goodness man. Gracious, Lord help us. I cannot wait for tomorrow night. I am so damn excited for that game.
Get your popcorn ready. You know, the great thing about this.
Oh, you know, I have my popcorn ready.
I go over to Carmazzi
over
there, too.
Zone.
Yeah, I'll be over to Carmazzi up myself.
Yes, sir.
The great thing about this is...
Thank you, Soren. Soren says, that's an embarrassing interview. Thanks, Soren. We appreciate you, man. Thank you. Very proud of that.
Part of the problem.
Yeah,
that's what we are. Part of the problem.
That's what we are. Race baiters.
this I saw on CBS Sports on their football Instagram page. So CBS Sports dedicated to college football.
Mm-hmm.
This game was on there.
Okay.
They're talking about FCS. They don't talk about no other FCS game in the nation. That doesn't mean there's no other good teams or not. I'm just telling you, they don't talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
This little dialogue and everything, this was on there. Get your popcorn ready.
Mm-hmm.
This may be, and we'll find out. We'll find out when it all is said and done. This might be the highest rated FCS game, non-playoff game that goes on ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
I think they might have that. People know what's going on with this situation, and they tapped in. They definitely tapped in. So it's gonna be fun out there on Friday night. I can't wait. I can't wait. I want to see what's going on.
Yeah, this is it's gonna be a good night, man. I think Jay Hardaway said it. We need to win a couple tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. The whole city needs to win tomorrow.
I need to see that. I need to see the damn beam as I'm driving home from Sac State tomorrow.
Fire.
I need to see that.
Hell yeah. By the way.
I can't believe I said win the fight. Jesus, man. I can't believe I said
Ever that. Heard of professionalism?
By the way, man, Coach Marion and Roberts Family Development Center, they've got a coat and diaper drive that is going to take place November 18th.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll post the flyer to my Twitter and Instagram if you want to donate, if you want to attend, if you want to help out some families here as we get closer to the holidays. I'll get all the information for you guys so you guys can have that, help out, donate, attend, whatever you can do, whatever you want to do in that situation.
We'll come back. Right out the gate, right when we get back, we got to knock out power rankings or it's never going to happen.
Poor NFL.
Yeah, we've got we'll get our power rankings here real quick, and then we'll get back to the Sacramento Kings. We really haven't marveled enough yet at Victor Wembanyama's game last night or Ty and VJ and what they did in Philly. So we got to get into all of that, too.
I was also disappointed by something I saw last night in the Kings game.
Okay.
I was disappointed.
Okay. All right. That's all ahead here. It's D-Lo and KC brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, God. So gambling is the biggest story.
By the way, I did win on Prize Picks last night.
Good
Shout
for
out
you.
To my Kings lineup.
I did not.
Oh, man. I won $2. It wasn't like I broke the bank. But I got
I was three staring at 770, man.
It's tough, big dog.
I know.
That's tough. The two that I lost was Devin Booker's points, rebounds, and assists. They now have that simply as PRA. You know what I mean? So we don't have to keep saying it. Devin Booker's PRA. It was at 40.5. I went more. Ended up being 39.
Okay.
Wow. And then Russ, his PRA. Was at 15.5. He got 13.
Oh, man. Yeah.
So
he didn't get that.
He would have made a couple of them jump shots, maybe a layup. Maybe I would have been in there, man. So you can also create your own lineup. NBA is back. NFL football tonight. Who's tonight?
Chargers Vikings.
No idea. Vikings. That is a
we
damn
know.
Shame.
D-Lo and KC knew Chargers Vikings on
right.
today.
That's right. Chargers Amazon Vikings. Prime, baby.
Going go down Chargers.
Go.
going down tonight. College football. There's so many things going on, man. Download the Prize Picks app. Put in the promo code KIFM. You get $50 towards your first $5 lineup by putting in that promo code KIFM to get $50 towards your first $5 lineup. You must be present in certain states. Go to prizepicks.com for more details. Prize Picks. It's good to be right, unless you're Chauncey.
Oh, Jesus. Kenny, come on, man.
Or Terry was here.
You grow up.
WSKF. Cooking. From
the
poorest
part. The show is so unprofessional.
Bright city lights, I gotta make it.
I apologize.
Sorry, Chauncey.
First, we're instigating fights. Now we're...
Bro, they said, yeah, I could win the fight on Friday.
Oh, man.
I love it.
Ryan, guy, Andy, I'm sorry. That's not what I meant.
That's like, don't sleep on it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Real quick here, because, gosh, we have to get back to what is going on in the association. We got to get back to you. Kings Matt George is going to join us about 30, 45 minutes from now. Power rankings here as football gets back underway tonight. Last week, Casey had the Bucks, Lions, Colts, Chiefs, and Bills as teams 1 through 5. Again, the Bucks at 1, Lions, Colts, Chiefs, Bills at 5. This week, Lions get that number one spot, man.
Mm.
Got the Lions back at number one. The Chiefs, I moved all the way up to number 2.
What?
Yes, I did. When I said I believe they are back, my dearest brother, I believe that they are back. Probably long overdue, but I moved the Colts into the top 5. I've got the Colts at number 3.
Okay.
We'll see how that goes, but they've earned it. I've got the Colts at the top 3. The Bucks, who lost, I moved them down the 4. Didn't want to take them out of the power rankings.
Disrespect.
I took the Bills out only because they had a bye week, and I've got my eye on the Rams. So
they
Rams
got punished for being healthy?
No, they didn't play.
Yeah, they got punished because they didn't even play. They got knocked out of the power rankings because the schedule makers didn't schedule them a game.
Well, they're at like 5.5. So I just they're right there. Like, and then this can all be addressed next week.
Wait a minute.
They're at 5.5.
As I take umbrage with your power rankings, how the hell do Rams get in there after that game, after playing that team in London? That is not a move up the charts win.
London.
That pushes them up?
Well, no, they're a 5-2 football team who I think highly of. I don't care. The game was in London.
So the Bills get knocked out for not playing, and the Rams get pushed up for beating a sorry team.
Let's stop saying the Bills got knocked out. They just got passed because
they're
by.
Right, they're not on
the
list.
We see this in the BCS all of the time. If you don't play that week, okay, here, jackass, fine. Bills, 5.5. Now look at your stupid little rundown. Are you happy?
I mean,
5.5.
It ain't the same. There's 6 teams there.
Oh, see, and the Bills will almost certainly find their way back in to the power rankings next week. Actually, I don't even know who they play this week. That might play a factor.
I ain't really thought about the NFL once this
week. I know, I know, man.
NBA's back.
I know. I know. I know. I know. I know. I know. It is the Vikings. Oh, well, it's your Panthers. It's the Bills at your Panthers tonight. Bills at your Panthers this week.
I think the Bills are going to win, but sneaky.
You know, and here's great news for you. The Rams have a bye week.
So send them out of the top 5.
They probably will be. You know what team I really did want to put in? And I can't. I don't even know that I could do it this week unless I use that bye line. Because I'm starting to eye the Packers again. The Patriots.
Mm.
The Patriots are a team I really wanted to get into the top 5.
I'm going to be honest with you. I probably forgot about the Patriots. They probably should be in the top 5. Nah, not really. There's nobody that should. I mean, nah. They shouldn't
not
be
yet.
Over.
Okay, that's fine. Team. Yeah, that's fine.
It's close. I'll give you my top 5.
Okay,
the Lions are number 1, just like you.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about respect. I got the Colts at 2. I got the Colts. The Bucks, who were previously number one, they fall to three. I'm not going to send them too far for losing to who I have as the number one team on the road. I still got the Bills in there at four. And I do have the Chiefs at five. I do have them making that power rankings debut.
Okay.
So they're, they're in there. They're in there. And Niners are close, but they're not there. Niners are close.
I think I needed one more from the 49ers before I, because I thought about them briefly, but I thought, I think I'd rather go with the Patriots, and ultimately I went with neither.
Do you know my poor Niners who can't keep the team reporter healthy at this point?
Oh, gosh. Nick Wagner, I hope you're okay. Oh, my God.
My poor Niners. I think their bye is until like week 14.
Yeah, right.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
They can't even get a week to get themselves together. We just keep going, man. We just keep doing what we can, man. Got Texans this week, you know, as a championship squad.
The Texans are?
Yeah, man. True champions. True champions. Just going to go out there and, you know, just roll the footballs out there and just see what happens.
When have the Texans won the title?
Well, they won the division.
Oh. So true division champions is what you're saying.
Well, that's just an extra word.
Okay. Okay. Let me do a quick refresh here. There's a couple of clips that we have to, well, right now there's one clip that we have to play. I was hoping we'd had something from Doug Christie. We did not. Go ahead.
But before we get into the clips, can I tell you what disappointed me yesterday in the game with the Kings and the Suns?
Do you want to hold on to that, or do you want to go that Brian Windhorst clip that people are going crazy over?
Ahead. Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll hold on to it.
Well, great, because I can't. There it is. I was to say I can't find it. Here it is. This clip is circulating the office pretty strong right now, and it's this is Brian Windhorst on the Rich Eisen show. God, this poor guy Winters just lives in hotels. This poor brother.
Something happened to him the other day. What happened? His internet went out or something, or he got stuck in the airport. So poor Winters he was having a tough day the other day.
We will get back to the Kings in just a moment. Matt George is going to join us here about 20 to 30 minutes. Here's Brian Windhorst on the Rich Eisen show today.
You're absolutely right, Rich. The NBA at some point is going to have to explain why Terry Rozier was allowed to keep playing. And I just want to point something out. The sports books caught the irregular betting on Terry Rozier the day it happened, the morning it happened, when all of a sudden there was hundreds of thousands of dollars coming in on Terry Rozier unders for a relatively meaningless game in March. Involving the Charlotte Hornets, the sports books caught it. They told the NBA right away. And guess what? The NBA, Rozier didn't play the rest of the season. And he had faked the injury, so it wasn't because of the injury. The NBA pulled him. They pulled Jonte Porter, too. They flagged Jonte Porter and pulled Jonte Porter. The NBA's measures, their protection measures, the sports book's protection measures triggered this. They caught it. The issue, I think, is, you know, Jonte Porter, they caught, convicted, and tossed him out of the league within weeks. Rozier didn't. And this in this investigation, and I don't know if Terry Rozier is guilty. The NBA obviously didn't feel that he was. They wouldn't have let him play. But this indictment implies that there was a swath of conspirators. There was like his cousin, his cousin's friend. I mean, like all the way down to like low-level guys who won money on this bet and then immediately bet on other games and lost all the money and had to tell other people, man, I lost the money. I'll have to get it to you. Like the really low-level people who were betting hundreds of dollars on this game, in addition to people who were betting tens of thousands. So my point about saying that is that there was a wide swath of people who were benefiting from this inside information on Rozier, according to the feds, and that the NBA either didn't discover that or knew about that and cleared him, they're going to have to answer for. But
okay. Ooh. Okay, so there's a lot there.
Yeah.
I need to rewind something I'm not sure if Winhurst is clear what he just said.
They flagged
here.
Jonte Porter and pulled Jonte Porter. The NBA.
So
they told the NBA right away. And
listen to this particular part right here where he talks about the books catching this the day it happened.
In March, mm-hmm. involving the Charlotte Hornets, the sports books caught it. They told the NBA right away. And guess what? The NBA, Rozier didn't play the rest of the season. And he had faked the injury, so it wasn't because of the injury. The NBA pulled him. They pulled Jonte Porter, too. They flagged Jonte Porter and pulled Jonte Porter. The NBA's...
Is Winhurst saying that the NBA pulled Terry Rozier?
That's what...
Because he's I feel like he's bouncing back and forth between multiple thoughts.
Yeah.
The sports books caught it. And pulled and said, "Hey, there's an irregularity here." Mm-hmm. He pulled Jonte Porter. Is he saying the NBA pulled Terry Rozier in Jonte Porter, and that Terry Rozier missing games with an injury wasn't in fact Terry Rozier missing games with an injury?
That's what I thought I remembered happened. I thought Rozier was under investigation and they sat him out. That's what I thought I remembered. But then you guys like, no, he played. And he was, I was like, maybe I just misremembered. But I thought he was out due to the investigation. And it happened during the season.
Where are we at? Let me see.
Once again, I could have misremembered that,
though. No, so what does the injury have to do with anything then?
If I remember, and I could go to the internet, but if I remember correctly, it felt like he was injured as well. But it was never reported.
So what Brian Winhurst is saying there is he wasn't. Brian Winhurst just said Terry Rozier was not injured.
So what I.
This is a great screenshot too of Winhurst.
What I remembered is he was suspended because of, or I don't even know if they used the word suspended.
I don't think they did.
They just did not allow him to play. But I also, I don't know if they did it or reporters. It happened when he had gotten hurt like a game or two before, maybe illegally, right? Like maybe it was one of those illegal games. And they also tied it into that. But the NBA was like, he's under investigation. I don't even know if they were really clear on it. They were under investigation, and he wasn't playing. And I didn't think it was due to the injury.
Jill Adge is texting me. He left the game, didn't go to the bench, and missed every game for the rest of the season for a foot injury.
Mm. And he was also under investigation.
I found a... Found a Reddit thread. Is Terry Rozier suspended the rest of the season? Now you can't search Terry Rozier suspended because all you're going to do is get news from today. But Winhurst's implication is, if I understand what he's saying here correctly, and again, he's bouncing back and forth between two different points. If I understand what he's saying here is it's the NBA was aware of what was happening with Terry Rozier and the sports books immediately. Mm-hmm. And they used his foot injury as a way to keep him out the rest of the season. If I'm understanding what he's saying correctly, that's it. Mm-hmm. But again, if I let this go a little bit longer, he's talking about DeJounte Murray. And you can hear him right there.
They pulled Jonte Porter, too. They flagged Jonte Porter and pulled Jonte Porter. The NBA's measures.
And here he start now it's like he's recollecting his thoughts. So I don't know if he was... I'm not positive if he was trying to speak about the books, mm-hmm. pulling Terry Rozier, saying, hey, there's something, league, look at this. There's something wrong. Or if he's saying the NBA went to Terry Rozier and said, hey, you got a foot injury? Yeah, you got a foot injury the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Sit down while we investigate this.
Yeah. And that would make sense. That would make sense. Now you can talk about they should have made it be known, put out the press statement. He's out because were investigating a potential gambling situation with him. But at the same time, they can't. Can he be out if they're investigating something?
Yes. Yeah, you can. I mean,
because
I don't know.
I only ask because, like, this isn't a court of law, but if he's not convicted of that, can you bar him?
So
you
can. Like, I think you have to pay him. Like, I don't know that. I'm not trying to be funny. I don't know if Chauncey Billups is in jail right now.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.